Right. Well, I think one of the biggest challenges in, you know, it's with everything in life. Our mind wants to keep us where we are because we know we're safe here, right? We know that we're not getting eaten by a tiger or anything like that. So our mind in its most primal form is like, what I know is safe. And so then when we start to think about changing that, we think of these crazy what ifs, right? And we start to think, well, what if this hire fails? What if they say something stupid on the phone with a client? What if they steal some information of mine, right? Something like that. And yet the reality is if we step back and ask, what is this fear protecting us from? Why am I thinking this? What are the odds that this is going to happen, right? The truth is that we have these crazy fears because we haven't done it yet and our mind's trying to protect us. So I would say the biggest mindset shift is realizing, thinking about logically, what's the worst that could happen? What are the odds of that happening realistically? And then what is the best that can happen? And what are the odds of that?
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my guest today, Adrienne Green. And Adrienne is amazing. She's traveling the world right now with her family. She is chiming in right now from Tokyo, and then in the morning, they're going to be on their way to Sri Lanka. And so I'm excited to talk to her because she's created this lifestyle that I would love to be living. She's an accomplished entrepreneur, a real estate investor, honestly living her dream and traveling the world with her family. And today we're going to talk about, as entrepreneurs, how to build scalable, hands-off businesses that create freedom. So I was just telling her, I've been so excited to talk about this because I really want entrepreneurs to know, and this is my journey, that you can have it all. You can scale and grow your business and have success while, you know, living a life with your family, focusing on your well-being, having fun and adventure. You can have all of it. And so just, Adrienne, so excited that you're here. Thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure. I'm really excited for our conversation and how we might be able to help some of the listeners.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know what? Let's rewind for a moment. I always like to start at the beginning sometimes when someone's story is really intriguing, which I feel yours is. So what was life like before you created this freedom-based business for yourself? And what was the turning point for you?
To go way back, you know, I was not raised as an entrepreneur. That wasn't the family I came from or anything like that. I went to college, got a bachelor's degree in business, and started working in like corporate finance and didn't love being in an office all day, became a high school math teacher instead. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, eventually even still felt that I didn't have all the freedom I wanted when I was tied to reporting to a school every day to work and all of those obligations. You know, as entrepreneurs, I think we all have a drive wanting, you know, time freedom, location freedom, the ability to do what we want with our day. And I definitely felt that. And that was the draw that kind of got me into the entrepreneurial world in the first place. And so I started off with going from teaching in the school to teaching online and doing real estate investing, you know, renting out my basement. That became buying, you know, investment properties, and that became being a real estate agent. My world really transitioned to where now my entire world is real estate, like real estate investing, helping real estate investors, and entrepreneurialism, helping people with business, and specifically helping them with virtual assistants. Because, you know, in the early part of my entrepreneurial journey there as a real estate agent, I was the stereotypical solopreneur. I did it all. Mm-hmm. I remember like countless hours trying to put together newsletters, if anybody else is doing newsletters. And this was not just the email newsletters. No, like the brokerage I worked for had a really great printing system. So I was like taking the template they gave us and assembling the like my custom version that was going to be printed and mailed to all my clients. And then, of course, there was also countless hours making the email version that went out. And so I was doing it all. I was doing it all as a real estate agent. I was doing it all as a real estate investor. Same thing there. I remember taking my like little baby with me when I had to paint a condo, a rental condo between tenants, and taking her in the pack and play, setting her up so that a friend of mine and I could paint this whole condo between tenants. And so I did it all. And then what really was the turning point for me is when I bought an investment property that was long distance and I couldn't do it all myself. And I had to trust the boots on the ground there. And then I realized, hey, I could do the same thing on the back end with virtual assistants. And it really came for me, not from reading a book and realizing there was a better way. It came from really realizing not being able to do it the way I had done it. I couldn't run a long distance investment property the way I had done my local investment properties. I had to trust other people. I had to start using systems, using the tech so that I could leverage the team. And that was the turning point. So it started with my investment properties and then I applied it to my my real estate agent business. So during this time, we also relocated. And if any of you guys listening are entrepreneurs where your business comes from your local area and it comes from like your sphere of influence, right? Your network. I was moving to a new market where I knew one person and they were a real estate agent. So I had to rebuild my business as a real estate agent in a market with no community or sphere of influence. And I did a couple things there. And one of them that I did is as soon as I had my first closing, I brought on a virtual assistant because I knew I needed to lean into running this like a business, to doing the marketing, to doing my top 20% of the networking and the connecting and the getting clients. And I couldn't do that if I was doing every contract, if I was doing every email to the title company, to the lender, to setting up the client's search portals in the MLS system. Like all the time I was going to do that was time I wasn't going to be out there lead generating for my business. And there was no way it was going to work, right? Like I didn't already have any kind of network or leads coming in there. So I had to bring on admin help to do that back office stuff, to do the operations so I could focus all my time on marketing and lead gen and bring in the clients I needed to have the business I wanted to have. And it worked. And I know, Kelly, I'm going long here, so I'll say this last piece and then we'll open it up to love to hear your thoughts. But it worked so much. I brought on that full-time virtual assistant. It was scary because I was committing to paying her. I was committing to feeding her family. I was committing to figure out how to give her work, right? I didn't have any systems. I didn't have any SOPs. And yet I knew that it was the only way to get where I wanted to go. And it worked. In 6 months, I had so much business. And even with a full-time virtual assistant, I was working crazy hours. I didn't have balance. So I went into my brokerage and I said, I need to start a team. I need other agents to come in to help me service these leads. And I was able to grow a real estate agent team, a business that I later sold. And this was all from having, it all started with a virtual assistant.
Oh my gosh. I love your story. I love your story. And I love the journey, right, of entrepreneurship and how it unfolds and, you know, how you first just rented out your basement, right? And then now this is how you have your freedom lifestyle is through real estate investing and teaching others. And, you know, it's interesting as you talk about virtual assistants and getting that support, because I have a buddy who's a real estate investor and I don't know how many doors he owns, but a lot. And his biggest complaint is he has zero time because he basically has created a business where he has a job dealing with all of these pieces that you talked about that he doesn't want to spend his time doing, putting out problems, dealing with headaches. And it's up to him because he doesn't have that support. You know, he's tried to hire people. It just hasn't worked out that way, who are boots on the ground. And so it's interesting that you talk about hiring a VA. I think that that's actually super smart and such a solution for real estate investors or entrepreneurs who are scaling, and eventually we need to free up some time, right? And so I'm curious, let's talk about the hiring the VA, because you said you first started to do it. So what, I'm curious what some common, you know, because we're talking to entrepreneurs here. Entrepreneurs aren't the greatest at giving up control and letting other people come into to their baby, let's just say, right? And so what are some common misconceptions about hiring VAs, do you think?
One of the biggest ones I see is that you've got to have a system ready to go for them to come and work, right? So like, well, everything I do is in my head right now. So how can I have somebody come in and do what I do? I guarantee a lot of what you're doing that you say is in your head, it's on the phone or it's on the computer. And both of those can be recorded. And with AI, which we did not have AI when I started doing this, so it's easier now than it was. With AI, you can just make a recording of that call. You can make a recording of that video and make a video. And the virtual assistant can take that. They can make a transcript of it. They can pop that transcript into ChatGPT to come up with a draft of a procedure. And then they can just watch the video or listen to the recording, walk through that procedure, fine tune it. I like to say add some screenshots in, right, to make it really clear. And they can make a very beautiful procedure or SOP of exactly what you do very easily. All you have to do is record it. And so that's the first issue people see is they're like, I don't have this systems or this task list. You don't need it. One of the virtual assistant's first jobs is going to be to make those procedures, to make those tasks and that world for you. You just need to record what you do. That's it.
Yeah, that's so cool. And okay, so I'm liking this already, right? And so what, if you're looking for a VA, maybe you can share, because you know, you obviously have worked with a lot of VAs, you now actually help people scale with VAs. What should people be looking for when they're looking to hire a VA?
Great question. And it's often people are not looking at the right thing. So what I recommend you start with is really doing kind of just a basic time audit. Same way I'm like, you know, you just record what you do. If you want to figure out what you want to hire a VA to do, you need to know what you do. And you don't need to have some like super fancy thing. You can use one of those apps that tracks your time where you put things in, or you can just use a Google Keep, right? Or like one of the Apple Notes apps. And you just say, what I like to have people record first is what you're doing, right? How often you repeat this task, right? Okay, I'm replying to client emails. I do this every day. And then you say, how long does it take you? Okay, I spend 1 to 2 hours replying to client emails every day. And then the fourth piece I'd like you to record is, how does it make you feel? Does this give you energy or does this drain your energy? Because you really want to focus on handing off stuff that drains your energy. So what I would start with when it says what to look for is, first you need to know what you want them to do. And if you don't know what you want them to do, just start by tracking what you're doing. And if you do that for a few days, you're going to start having some stuff. And the reason you want to know what you want them to do is because that's going to help you choose the right person, right? And because it's a common issue that people think if they don't do this, they think they want to hire for tasks A, B, and C. But then they get someone in there to do tasks A, B, and C. Like maybe what happens a lot is people want to hire somebody to do lead gen because most entrepreneurs don't want to do their own lead gen, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want like, oh, I want to hire someone to cold call. But the thing is, you're not really cold calling yourself. And then you don't have a system to handle if they're successful. And they do bring you in leads, you don't have a system to handle those leads. And so that's where I'd say start with what's actually on your plate, what's taking your time, and create the role from there. And then what you want to think about is somebody who has experience in those tasks and somebody who has the right personality for those tasks. Generally, you're going to start with having them do admin operation stuff. Let's say they're going to do your bookkeeping, your QuickBooks. They're going to handle your calendar. They're going to handle processing clients. They're going to handle maybe like sending your clients gifts or cards or things like that. If you're going to have somebody do that admin and operations task, what personality is a good fit for that? Now, whatever personality test you use is fine. I personally like the DISC assessment, D-I-S-C. And if you're going to have somebody do those basic admin and operations tasks, you usually want them to have like a high S and or a high C. S is the most common one in humanity. It's just a generally nice, sociable person, great team player, somebody who will stay as a part of a community. C is your calculator. Think your engineer, your accountant, someone like that. Detail-oriented, follows directions. I typically, for an admin role, are looking for those two things. Versus if you're going to have somebody who's on the phone a lot, if that's a big part, answering the phone, scheduling, you want somebody who's that high I extroverted person who can handle maybe some belligerent people on the phone, some angry customers, that kind of charismatic person. But if you take that charismatic high I person and you give them admin work where they're never interacting with someone, they're not going to be happy. They're not great mm-hmm. at following directions and being detail oriented. So you're setting them up to fail. So I like to say, look at what tasks you're actually doing that you want to hand off. Then you find somebody who's experienced in those tasks and has the right personality for them. And that's what I would look for first and consider the most important.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love everything you're sharing. And, so as you're speaking, I'm just sitting here thinking, right? Because I'm reading a book right now, literally called How to Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And he talks about this, right? About how to, if you want to scale your business, right? We need to be spending our time where it's like income producing activities, where our gifts are, where our zone of genius is, not on all those things that you just described. And so I'm curious, when would you say an entrepreneur should pull the trigger and get a VA? Does it make sense right at the beginning so that you actually start to put those systems in place together and you set up that environment where you can spend on time where it matters? Or is it once you hit a certain peak of pressure and you get a VA to alleviate the pressure? Or is there no right or wrong answer? Like, when would you suggest somebody gets a VA for their business?
I'm so glad you asked that, because that is one of the other things that keeps people back, is they, along those same lines, people are always like, well, do I have to hire full time? Because I don't even think I have 40 hours a week to hand off. I guarantee if you are working in your entrepreneurial endeavor for full time, you have 40 hours of admin work that someone can do. Guarantee it, right? If you started tracking your time, you're probably spending a ton of your time doing admin work. And if you say, oh, no, I'm not, then I would say, if I asked you how much time are you doing with lead gen, are you really doing 40 hours of lead gen? Are you really doing 20 hours? Are you even doing 10 hours of lead gen? Probably not, because you're spending so much time on the admin work. So the best time, I think, to hire them is as soon as you can afford it. And even if it's a little, like, I will tell you, I had one closing that had happened when I hired my first VA. It was a little stressing for me in terms of, like, I was committing to continuing to pay her. And VAs aren't expensive. I would say for most admin roles, you're going to be paying $6 to $8 an hour if you're hiring direct. And yet you're committing to that. So I would say as soon as you can afford that is the best time to bring on your first virtual assistant. I would recommend bringing them on full time, because you're going to start with handing them all the admin work off your plate. And then once that's done, you're going to start to give them your wish list. You're going to start to be like, hey, I don't have any social media yet, or I do, but I post like once a month. Maybe we should build that out. You're going to start to give them more things that you don't even have time to think about yet. Because as you get rid of all that busy work, you're going to have a ton of ideas and it's going to be amazing. And you're going to have your VA to help execute. And then eventually you're going to want to grow. You're going to want to get more systemized. So I started with like a general executive assistant admin VA, which is what I recommend most entrepreneurs start with. That's going to really get you in your top 20% and take the bottom 80% off your work plate. And then eventually, as I started this team, I needed somebody who was going to be specifically what we would have in real estate as our contract to close. They just handled what was under contract from when it got under contract to when it closed. I had somebody just for that role. And I also hired somebody specifically for social media and marketing, because that got to be too big for the executive assistant to do that along with everything else. You're going to get, after that first executive assistant that you want to get as soon as you can afford it, then once they start getting super busy and they start needing help and you're starting to feel like stuff isn't getting done because there's not enough hours in the day for your VA, that's when you want to figure out, okay, we need to hire a second virtual assistant. And what are those roles going to be?
Yeah. You know, and okay, so I know that a part of what you share about is talking about building a business that works for you. And this is a big piece of it, I believe. What would you say are some mindset shifts? So for those who are listening, who are like, I like the sound, but there's a struggle, there's some resistance. They're like, it sounds great, right? So what are some mindset shifts you can recommend that it would be beneficial for entrepreneurs to adopt so that we can start to create this time freedom for ourselves within our business and our life?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges, and you know, it's with everything in life, our mind wants to keep us where we are because we know we're safe here, right? We're not getting eaten by a tiger or anything like that. So our mind in its most primal form is like, what I know is safe. And so then when we start to think about changing that, we think of these crazy what ifs, right? And we start to think, well, what if this hire fails? What if they say something stupid on the phone with a client? What if they steal some information of mine, right? Something like that. And yet the reality is, if we step back and ask, what is this fear protecting us from? You know, why am I thinking this? What are the odds that this is going to happen? The truth is that we have these crazy fears because we haven't done it yet and our mind's trying to protect us. So I would say the biggest mindset shift is realizing, thinking about logically, what's the worst that could happen? What are the odds of that happening realistically? Mm-hmm. And then what is the best that can happen? And what are the odds of that? So that's the first, I think, mindset shift, is realizing, like, I can tell you, yes, I've had some VA fails. Whenever you hire anyone, no one has 100% success rate, right? If you've hired more than a few people, you're going to hire someone who's just doesn't work out, or they don't work out. And you know what? That's normal, and businesses survive. Look at any business that you would admire or want to emulate or want to be like, they hire people. They don't have 100% success rate for it, and the business still thrives. So don't stress about getting the absolute perfect hire. Don't stress if one of them doesn't work out. Realize that that's just a part of the process and that overall, the math still works out and it's still going to bring you more money and help your business grow.
For sure. And you know, you're sharing great stuff here. I'm curious, because you have so much experience with this, are you able to share maybe, you know, you talked about hiring some people that didn't work out. What are some other maybe mistakes you've made along the way or times things went wrong or didn't go according to plan that you can share so we can learn from you, pave the way?
Sure. That very first VA I hired that, like I said, was my executive assistant, was great and was my right hand to the point where I was going to start this team, right? So this was about 6 months in from when I first hired her that I was going to start this team. And in that process, like as I'm starting the team, I'm bringing on agents. My brokerage is also changing the e-signing tool they're used. So we're going from like a tool I know well with, because in real estate, everything is e-signed, right? So we were going from Dotloop to DocuSign. I had no idea how to use DocuSign. So I'm having to figure this out, grow my team. And my virtual assistant had some like family issues and she quits suddenly. She quits all of a sudden and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I was planning on her being my right hand through all of this. Now I need to replace her. So that can happen. Same as when you hire in person, right? People do quit and often they have emergencies or something where they're not giving you the notice you would like. So the lesson I learned from that is now I am hardcore about SOPs and procedures. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first things a virtual assistant does when we are starting a new task, right? Is that's getting written and it needs to have every task has that home and that how to. That's how we keep it track and nothing's going to fall through the cracks. So for me, that home is monday.com, the task management system. And that every task that a virtual assistant does is in monday.com. So when I give my virtual assistant something to do, I create a task in monday.com. And when they have repeat tasks like daily, weekly, whatever, you can set that up to automatically create when one gets done, which is pretty cool. So it has a home and then it has the how-to, which was that SOP. And I use Google Workspace. Everything lives on Google Workspace and I control Google Workspace. Because when that virtual assistant left after 6 months, she had written a lot of procedures, but some of them, I hadn't reviewed them. So some of them were good, but they weren't great. There were pieces missing. They hadn't necessarily been updated as things evolve. Now I'm really intense on every time we change something, I like check in with my executive assistant VA, did that get in the procedure? And he's amazing. So he's like, yes, I've already updated the procedure, but every time something evolves, it's there. And it's all saved in my Google Workspace that I have as a business so that if that virtual assistant leaves, if it was on their Google Drive account and it wasn't on like my Google Workspace, right? Which they can have a drive on my Google Workspace, but I'm really intense on using Google Workspace now so that if they leave, I don't lose any of my content because they had saved it somewhere else. In fact, like if my virtual assistant even makes something and it's on like some other drive, which you can see when you open a link to a file, you can see where it is. I will not even review it. I'll be like, I can't even look at something unless it's on my Google Workspace. Like I am hardcore about that. That was one situation where, you know, things didn't go as I would have liked. I learned and I evolved. And that's where a lot of my recommendations come from now.
That's a great lesson, right? And save you a long headache in the end. As you're speaking, I thought of something that I wanted to ask just your opinion on because you're so well-versed in scaling business and using VAs. And, you know, so I'm just going to use myself as an example and be really transparent. So I am starting my business. I'm a year in. I do have a VA. She's wonderful. Yet as my business grows and scales, I feel like it's going to outgrow just her expertise. And so what do you do with your team who you love and want to be loyal to? Yet at the same time for your business to expand, it's hard to find places for them. Like, do you find places for them or what do you do? Because when you first start, you like, I have who I can afford. Yet now that I'm growing and expanding, I have more money to put into this. So do you just add team members? Does my question make sense? Like, how do you grow your team and take people with you when maybe you're outgrowing their experience or do you invest in their learning or do you just do the hard thing and love them and go find new people? Like, what's your advice on that?
That is a very, very good point or a good question because it is a challenge that you have. And it's going to depend a little bit on the person and the situation. I generally, if somebody is talented and they are a great team player, I want to try to find a way to keep them. I want a seat on the bus that works well for them. So for a specific example of that, my video editor, John, absolutely adore him. He's worked with us for like 3 years now. And when he started, like he liked video editing, but it was a hobby of his. Like it was his passion project, but it wasn't something that he had a degree in or graphic design, nothing like that, honestly. And so, you know, a little bit of a digression here, but a lot of executive assistant virtual assistants are coming from the Philippines. The Philippines also, you know, it's an island nation, and a lot of Filipinos are also like seamen. They go and work on boats. If you've ever taken a cruise, a lot of your crew may have been Filipino. And so that was John's background, is that he worked on shipping, like, I don't want to say boats because I feel like that's the wrong ships, right? Like on huge freight ships that were taking those huge like shipping containers across the Pacific. That's what he did. And so when he started with us, he didn't necessarily have the expertise to do like full-time video editing, and we didn't have that role for him. And so he kind of did whatever we needed. He honestly did property management. He did a whole bunch of different things for us. And as our world expanded and we started having more graphic design and video editing roles, we were able to allow him to really niche more and more down into the seat that he loved. That was actually, I guess, where we expanded and created a better world for him. And he stuck with us to get that. And he's grown in his skills. And as he did, we were able to give him more and more of those things, where now his full-time role is doing video editing and graphic design for us. And we keep him like probably 110% full with that, let's just say. So I think he's a great team player. And sometimes when he did property management, he didn't necessarily, like, he would make mistakes sometimes, but that was also on us because we didn't have him in the right seat on the bus, right? And so that's one of the things I always think about, the seat on the bus and having somebody in the right seat on the bus. And then if you're growing, sometimes, especially like virtual assistants, I'd say, especially if you have Filipinos, they don't necessarily want to take on, like, what I'm trying to say is sometimes like they're really happy being an executive assistant and they don't want to move on to director of operations or something like that. They don't necessarily, and you know, you can find this in any culture, I'm not trying to stereotype here, but they don't necessarily want to take on more responsibility. They might want to just stay in that particular seat. And as long as you have a role that is a good fit for their skills and abilities, or if you're able within your world to give them time to develop those skills and abilities for what you need. So like one of the things is John does have hours this quarter. He's working on improving his graphic design skills because he's great at the videos, but graphic design, we could use a little bit more of a fresh touch. So we're like, and so he decided, hey, this quarter, I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to go train. We talked about like taking a course or what that could happen. So you can definitely talk and collaborate and have them build their skills. If somebody was a great team player, I would do everything I could to keep them, find a place where we could utilize their skills. But if we absolutely did not have the right seat on the bus, depends on the situation. In general, I would probably give them 2 weeks pay. I wouldn't necessarily ask them to work 2 weeks. I'd be like, hey, you know, we just don't have the right seat, but here's 2 weeks pay. And I would give them a glowing letter of recommendation that they could use in applying for their other jobs and ask them to use me as a reference.
Amazing. Great advice. And yeah, the team I have is phenomenal. Like they're absolute team players. So I love how you're helping your team grow and scale with their own skills themselves, right? To match what you need for your business. I love that answer. Thanks for that. And okay, I'm curious. I want to shift gears a little bit here because we're talking about VAs for the purpose of creating time freedom for ourselves within our business, and also so that we can grow and scale and not have to sacrifice the success of our business as we want to put our time elsewhere. So when was the moment for you? I want to shift to the gears where you now are traveling the world with your family. So right. When was that moment where you're like, okay, this is going to change everything by putting this in place so we can pull the trigger to go and live this dream? And why was that dream important to you? So maybe you can start with that. Like, why was that calling you to pick your family up and travel and have those experiences? And then What was the moment you had where you said, we can do it, we've put everything in place?
So I guess to go a little bit of my background, like I have lived in multiple different places. Like growing up, I lived in Southern California, a few different cities in Southern California. I lived in Washington State in Spokane, if anybody's listening from Eastern Washington. And then kind of in the middle school, high school time, I was in Atlanta before I went back to Southern California for college. And then I was in Northern Virginia outside of D.C. and then in Tennessee. So I, in general, have always been somebody who who's not been tied to a place, right? It wasn't like I was born and raised in one area. And so I've always kind of felt like we can change things that aren't serving us anymore, right? We can change things. And I've always kind of wanted that freedom to do so, right? I've never really wanted to be tied down where because places change, people change. I've never wanted to be where like, hey, if I outgrow this place or this place changes and isn't where I want to be anymore, I want to be able to do something about that. And, you know, that was kind of like Southern California. I had gone back there in 2003 to go to college and stayed after college. My husband and I had gotten married and we'd realized, hey, we were in the Los Angeles suburbs in the South Bay area. Again, if anyone's listening there, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach. And it was like, hey, to get like anything in this zip code, and this was like 2011, 2012, is going to cost us $1 million minimum, right? And we're talking like a tiny little place. And so it was like, is this really where we want to grow and raise our family? Is this really the lifestyle and everything that we'd want to have? And so I appreciated that we could say no. And we had the ability then to move. We were able with my husband's company to he could easily relocate to where they had other offices. And that's what took us to Northern Virginia outside of DC. And so I've always appreciated that flexibility when it comes to location. That's one thing. And then I would say to, you know, get a little more present today. In 2019, when I first got my first long distance investment property and started to run things like a team or like a business and with a team, I realized, hey, this allows me to invest anywhere. This allows me to have my business anywhere. It's not location specific. And that was a mindset shift where I started as much as I could running everything like that. So with my real estate investing, in 2020, I relocated to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that's where I built that real estate team I was talking about. And I invested in Chattanooga. And yet I ran my investment properties as if I was potentially like long distance. So I didn't do my own showings. I didn't go by if the tenant was saying a sink wasn't working or the water heater wasn't working. I just called a handyman, or I had my VA call a handyman to go out there and handle it. And the VA handled coordinating between the tenant and the handyman and everything, and I wasn't involved. So it was really in that end of 2019, beginning of 2020, where I really started to say, how can we run everything where it doesn't depend on our sweat equity, right? Because then we can stay in our top 20%. That's where it came from. And so over time, I ran all my investment properties like that with the virtual assistant. We started a virtual staffing business, my husband and I did, while I had the real estate team. And he set that up totally virtually. Like, we didn't rent an office space in town. He worked from our home, but that home could have been anywhere, right? And then all of our back-end support was all virtual. Now, my real estate agent team, that did involve some location specificity, especially the culture in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is a little more traditional, right? That's not the Bay Area. It's not like some super tech forward place. And there was some benefit of meeting in person and things like that. So I will say it was fall 2023 when I decided to sell my real estate agent team. And that was the last like in-person business because we had set everything else up to be remote. And so we'd always hoped or wished really that when my kids were a little older, you know, at this time they were in second grade, kindergarten, preschool, we'd kind of thought, oh, when the oldest gets, you know, out of fifth or sixth grade, we'll go take a year and travel. But we realized, hey, if I'm selling the real estate agent team, everything else we have set up to run virtually, who knows? We got to strike while the iron's hot. Let's take advantage of it now. And it was a little scary because the kids were younger than I had planned and envisioned, but that's what we did. So we had this realization in September of 2023. October of 2023 is when I closed on selling the team. And we left Chattanooga in February of 2024 to travel full time. I realized I just threw a lot at you. So let me pause. And so, you know, what were you thinking from all that? What did I not yet?
I'm just so inspired. I'm so inspired that, you know, so many people talk about the kind of lifestyle they would like. And not everybody wants a travel lifestyle like you're doing. I love that. I think it's a big pull for a lot of people. Yet they don't have the courage to do it, right? And to make it happen. And so, first of all, I just want to say kudos to you because it's really inspiring. And you're doing this, like you said, with three kiddos. And I was asking you ahead of time, 9, 7, and 5. You're in Tokyo right now. It's like 11:30 something at night, right? You're off to a new adventure tomorrow. And you're doing, you created the lifestyle, like you manifested it, you took action, and you and your husband are making this happen for you and your family. So it's just really inspiring. I'm curious, what's next for your family when it comes to this continuous adventure, right, you know, this lifestyle, this freedom-based lifestyle, and the growth of your business?
Well, when we started, we committed, we did some domestic travel, and we had committed to, hey, we're going to travel for about a year. So we had committed through, actually right now, like this is, you know, I was telling you before, this is our 1 year anniversary of, yesterday was 1 year that we left the US to start traveling internationally full time. So we are at a year of, not exclusively, but almost exclusively being outside the US and being in other countries. And so we had committed to that. And then about 6 months in, because, you know, we are a family of five, we travel like a herd of turtles, like it's not fast, we need to plan in advance. And so about 6 months in, we sat down as family and said, hey, at the end of this year, do we want to go back? Do we want to go back? Do we want to settle back in Chattanooga, go live somewhere else? And everybody wanted to keep going. So right now we have plans through spring of 2026. So going on, you know, almost 2 years of full-time international travel. And by then, by the end of this year, by the end of 2025, my kids will have been to at least four continents, maybe five. We might hit Morocco as well. We'll see. We're thinking about it. And they will have been to, I think it's going to be at least 14 countries, again, maybe 15 if we throw in Spain and Morocco. And so that's a lot. And yet there's still more. So we're going to keep doing this at least through probably mid-2026. We may choose a place in another country or potentially in the US, we'll see, to have as like a home base of 3 to 6 months a year, because while you can get dental care everywhere, while you can find, we found chess instructors, we found horseback riding lessons, we found piano lessons, we found all of this in our travels. And yet it could be a little easier, you know, if you find one person and go back to them or, you know, periodically do that. So it's a long way of saying we're planning on continuing to travel internationally for now. We may end up with a home base that we spend for part of the year, but everybody in the family really enjoys visiting new places. So the thought is that we'll keep doing that as long as we keep enjoying it.
I love it. I love it. And we could have a whole podcast episode about your lifestyle and the on being on the road, right, with your family and building a business. So I'm curious. I just have one question before we shift gears here and start to wrap up. What would you say personally has been the biggest lesson you've learned about yourself living your life and designing it how you just described in the way that you've wanted it to be?
I guess I have a lot of ideas, and I am a creative, like big thinker. Like I can think of like, hey, this is really cool. And yet, even as much as I can think outside of the box, the reality of what I have been able to create, you know, my husband and I together, right, in our family, is more than we could ever have even dreamed. And that's what I would love your listeners to take away when they're like, oh my goodness, I could never do that. I don't speak another language, or my kid has a special diet, or their ADD, or whatever your issue is, or we don't make enough money, or whatever your reason is. First off, I guarantee, at least with traveling the world, I know you can do it anyway. You know, depending on what your goal is, you can probably do it anyway. And as crazy and as big as your dream is, the truth is your life can be even bigger once you step out there. So one of the things my husband and I will joke about is something will happen. Like, for example, we started January with a month in the Philippines, and we swam with whale sharks, or we also swam, they have a sardine run there that's really cool. And we did snorkeling with the sardines. And we'll have these cool experiences, or we actually rang in New Year at a New Year's Eve party that a hotel was throwing on the helipad on the top of this hotel in downtown Manila in the Philippines. And we'll say, was this on your bingo card for this year? Like, we'll joke about that. Like, was this on your bingo card? And it's always a no. And so that's what I'd say, guys. If you just step out in faith and you start to do something that you're like, this would be pretty cool, what you're going to be able to create is even more amazing than you could imagine.
So true. Such a good message. Thanks for that. So, okay. So, Adrian, where can people find you? Because I have a feeling they're going to want to follow your journey, follow your adventure, learn more from you about business and how to scale. And, you know, you're being the example right now for a lot of people that you can create this freedom lifestyle. And so where can we find you?
Sure. I post a lot on Instagram. So if you go to Instagram, my handle is arealgreen, arealgreen. I'd love if you want to DM me or connect there. I'm always happy to talk. And I post a lot about our travels. And then if you're also interested in VAs, I have a gift for your audience, if that's okay.
Yes.
On our Workergenics website, so that's workergenics.com/VA Success Pack. And Kelly, I'll get you this link later, but workergenics.com/VA Success Pack. I have a whole pack there. I'm looking at it right now. It's got 4 different tools to really help you get started, to figure out where you're spending your time, to give you an onboarding checklist to see like what would it look like to bring them on. I give you my top 10 tech tools, because if you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I would talk to them or how they'd answer the phone, like we've solved that and it's there for you. So there's all these tools there to really fill in those blanks and start you on the right track to make it as easy as possible for you to do it yourself.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for offering that to the audience and to myself. We will definitely put that in the show notes so that people can go on there and use that freebie and use that guidance and that support and follow you. And that's just so, that's so generous. Thank you so much for that.
Of course.
I love it. Okay. I love what you're doing. Like, I could talk to you all day long. I'm so like, I just want to talk about all your experiences now, but we'll start to wrap up. I know you need to get to bed. So I have 3 last questions to ask you. So, you know, you've created this amazing lifestyle for yourself. So I'm curious, what is your definition of success for yourself today?
So for me, I realized when I started teaching high school math that I am a teacher at heart. I love to teach. That's part of why I love doing podcasts like this. I love to help people. So for me, success looks like where I get to help people live their best lives. That's success.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Perfect. And then, okay, so what would you say would be 3 pieces of advice for somebody to unleash their inner greatness?
One that I wish I had learned earlier is that decisions are easy when your values are clear. Shiny object syndrome is a constant issue. And so I see that with real estate investors as well. And so what I recommend when people are like, should I do X, Y, or Z? What are your values? Why are you doing this in your first place, right? Why are you even getting up? Like, why are you even involved in this? And it's not just for money. And so you got to step back and you got to look at your values and say, what are my underlying values? And then that needs to guide your decision. And so that's the first one. Decisions are easy when your values are clear. If I had to come up with 2 more, off the top of my head, I would say kind of along the lines of what we talked about today, feel the fear and do it anyway. Don't let that control you, right? So many great things are on the other side of that stress and that worry and that fear. So feel it and keep going. And then I guess my 3rd piece of advice, you know, I know there's a lot of entrepreneurial parents out there. A lot of people get into entrepreneurialism so that they can spend more time with their kids. And it's just enjoy the everyday moments, right? The good and the bad. It's all a part of the journey for sure.
Absolutely. Great advice. Thanks, Adrian. Okay, so last question. Based on our message today, what would be a call to action that you would give the listener so that when they hop off this episode, they could go and implement something this week?
I would start to track your time. That's what I'd say is your call to action, is track your time and think about where are you in your top 20%, right? Where are you in that zone of genius that is really lighting you up, that's helping other people, and that is the reason you were put on this earth? And how much time are you spending in the other 80%? And starting to have that awareness, that's what I'd start with.
Awesome. I think that's so cool because I always like to say awareness before change. So if you have that awareness and you realize you're spending most of your time in the 80%, a really great indicator that a VA is probably a smart move, right? Hey, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it. And I just wish you and your family all the best and so many happy travels and adventures and experiences. And thanks for being the example to show those people who want this kind of lifestyle that it's absolutely possible.
Thank you for giving me the chance. This has been really fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tanya, and this is Julie, and we are the founders of Coach Corp, your all-in-one solution for building and scaling a successful coaching business.
At Coach Corp, we provide you with everything you need in one place. You can house your courses, manage memberships, run email campaigns, and create stunning websites and funnels, all with our easy-to-use platform.
And it's not just about the software. We offer built-in coaching and mentorship, helping you implement best practices from certified NLP practitioners and story brand coaches. And that's just scratching the surface of what's inside.
And that's why we're excited to sponsor the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast with Kelly Beveridge. Kelly is a thought leader who inspires and elevates entrepreneurs worldwide.
We believe in the power of community and continuous learning, and this podcast is a fantastic resource for any coach looking to truly grow their practice.
So join us on this journey. Tune into the Entrepreneurial Elevation podcast for insights and inspiration, and visit Coach Corp to transform your coaching business today.
Coach Corp, your path to coaching success.